The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
So you're police after all. You know what you're doing, but you ain't been doing it. How long you been in the pawn shop unit?
13 years and 4 months.
13 years?
And 4 months.
I gotta ask you, what exactly does a police officer assigned to the pawn shop unit do?
You intake reports from registered pawn shops on all items valued over $50. Then you make an index card for that item. Then you file that index card. If someone wants to find out if something stolen has been pawned, we look to see if we have an index card. If we do, we do. If we don't, we don't.
You did that for 13 years?
And 4 months.
Why'd you ask out of homicide?
Well, no ask about it.
You got the boot?
Uh-huh.
What'd you do to piss him off?
Police work.
I think I need to buy you a drink.
Just one?
Great dialogue. It's an excerpt from The Wire, a show that some have compared to the work of Dickens and Dostoevsky. And as part of our series Boxed, where John Fardy looks back at some classic TV, that is John's choice for today. John, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
I only started to look back at The Wire because I had watched probably a dozen episodes or so, and then I, you know, went off and watched something else. It's terrific, and it's very gritty, and, you know, you have to tune into the dialogue.
Oh, you really do. And there's a huge amount going on. And it's funny, you talk about, you know, that was when you were talking about Madoff, that was fact, this is fiction. The lines are very much blurred. David Simon, who created it with Ed Burns, was a reporter on the Baltimore Sun for years and was kind of exhausted by what he saw when he was doing the crime beat and how at base, America was broken and Baltimore was a microcosm of that. And he wanted to do a realistic drama. And he said he wanted to get away from the BS of most cop shows, which he certainly did. And you mentioned Dostoevsky and Dickens. And I know that's a broad claim, but I don't think any TV show has ever quite created a novel the way The Wire did, because with The Wire, what you have is you have characters who are in the first season who die away and then come back later on. Like, there was a very jarring feeling when you watched The Wire. It began in season one, this very involved cop drama. And then season two, it does this really odd turn to the dock workers in Baltimore. Then in season three, it moves to politics and so on for the five seasons. And it was really asking listeners, or sorry, viewers, you're going to have to stick with this. This isn't easy watching. There will be huge benefits if you do stick with it, but it is like a novel in that it's not going to be, here's this character each week and let's see what happens to him each week. It contained literally multitudes of stuff.
Because in the first series, you're looking at, you know, the black drug scene predominantly. And then that kind of fades in the second series because you're looking, as you say, with white dock workers predominantly. I bet people going from season one to season two are saying, hang on, what's happening here? Is that the same series I watched last year?
Yeah, and it got weirder and weirder in that way when it moved on to the press and the schooling system. And, you know, it's funny because The Wire is rightly lauded now as this groundbreaking piece of TV. But for the five episode series, they were hanging on because the HBO guys, you know, HBO are credited of being amazing backers of TV, but even the executives were going, hang on a second here. And each series struggled to get made because HBO really weren't sure about it. And the irony of ironies, it was only really when it finished up and people, again, like a novel, stood back and looked at the whole thing and thought, this makes perfect sense. And even the title, The Wire. So on the surface, it's about a wiretap. That's how the show begins. And Dominic West, playing McNulty, wants to get this wire going on this drugs gang run by this kingpin, Avon Barksdale. But as the series went on, The Wire was actually a wire that was connecting every section of society, from politics to crime to school to journalism. Like, I don't think you've ever had a more involved TV show than The Wire.
Now, we're going to play another clip. And in this one, the police major, Howard Bunny Colvin, tries to explain to a school principal that teachers are not getting through to the kids. Have a listen.
Ms. Shepherdson, these aren't the kids that are going to be able to sit still for the statewide tests. much less do well on them. These were the kids that were going to make it impossible for anyone else to do well.
So we're writing them off?
No, that's what we're not doing.
You're not educating them. You're socializing them.
They weren't being educated before. There's no point in being obtuse.
Excuse me.
Hold on. Look, what he's saying is this. You put a textbook in front of these kids, put a problem on a blackboard, or teach them every problem on some statewide test, it won't matter. None of it. Because they're not learning for our world. They're learning for theirs. And they know exactly what it is they're training for and what it is everyone expects them to be.
I expect them to be students.
But it's not about you or us. Or the test or the system is what they expected themselves. I mean, every single one of them know they headed back to the corners, the parents. They came through these same classrooms, didn't they? We pretended to teach them, they pretended to learn, and where they end up? Same damn corners. I mean, they're not fools, these kids. They don't know our world, but they know their own. I mean, Jesus, they see right through us.
My goodness, that is, it's profound. They're not training for our world, they're training for their world.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that police officer, Harold Colvin, in the previous season had created a part of Baltimore that he called Hamsterdam, and I'm not mispronouncing that. It was this idea that they would let low-level crime slide, and he did this experiment where they would basically not go after the low-level drug dealers because he thought it wasn't of any benefit to do that. And oddly enough, in Baltimore this year, I don't know if it's a case of art imitating life or vice versa, the district attorney did the same during COVID, where they stopped prosecuting low-level drug crimes, and it appears to have had some efficacy on, you know, bigger, more serious crimes. So I'm not saying they took that from The Wire, but certainly David Simon would have been cognizant of all these experiments and things, you know.
Yeah, because that they decided not to prosecute, as you say, the low-level drug dealers, but also prostitution. They're letting, you know, turning a blind eye to that. The idea being that you've got so many cops tied up with this Mickey Mouse stuff that the big stuff is able to carry on. John, what do you think the legacy of The Wire is? I mean, how did it influence what we watch and how we watch it?
Well, I think in tandem with The Sopranos, it ushered in the golden age of the box set and the streaming box set, and it made TV so much less formulaic than it used to be. So it desired that people would commit themselves to a show in the way that they hadn't, because you can't just turn on an episode of The Wire in season three and watch it. It will make no sense to you. And from a mercantile point of view, what it also did was it made big Hollywood stars realize that a lot of their future might possibly lie in TV. And if you look at the cast now, Idris Elba, Michael B. Jordan, Dominic West, these weren't guys who were very well known at the time. Now they're serious stars, and it's all because of The Wire. So it really did change the nature of television.
Joe and Meath says season four of The Wire, arguably the best TV ever made. So there's an endorsement of your choice. So John is recommending that you go back to The Wire. If you have never seen it, certainly do it and give yourself time. And if you've watched it before, it rewards a second watch, that's for sure. John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time, what have you got this week?
Deep dive into the Oscars, which are just only over a week away now. And I'm talking to Tim Gray, the awards editor of Variety, all about what's likely to happen. It's a fascinating Oscars this year because the campaign has gone on for longer than anyone deemed right or proper because of COVID. Okay. So fascinating chat.
Okay, on air Saturday 6 to 7 and available as a podcast from Fridays at 5.